So what inspired your new album? Because the last one you came out was 2011, right?
I actually had most of the songs about probably 5 years ago, and just kind of, we sort of decided, hey, 4 years would be a good space in between records. And then I think it was just like life happened, and we demoed probably eight songs in 2015, and then Pat wound up moving pretty soon after that.
Texas,
Another
right?
year he was out in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pat's wife is originally from San Diego, so they always knew they were going to move back. And so yeah, so then we had to find a new drummer, and we were in this space of, do we want to just kind of hire a guy? We knew it, we know a couple of guys in Jersey that are really, really good that we could have hired to drum on the record, and we could have had Pat come in and do his parts or whatever. But we wanted to find a member, so that deleted another probably 2 years. And then just with everything going on, there's been, anything from injuries, Jeff got injured, he fell ice skating, it was a disaster. We had just a bunch of things go on, just life, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so that's why it wound up taking so long, you know what I mean? So I mean, it would probably should have come out in like 2016, but just the way that life went, it just wound up taking that long, just to come out. But I'm happy we got it over the finish line, because I thought for a while there maybe we wouldn't, So I'm happy, that we finally got it done.
No, I really liked everything. Interesting things that I happened to look up about you. Was you toured in Scotland twice, or you toured in Europe twice, right? You didn't enjoy it because at one point you were sleeping under merchandise or something in a gymnasium.
Listen, I enjoyed it. It's just, there was one night, I think it was in Stoke, and it happened to be a cold night in Stoke. And we slept, basically there was no place for us to go. We played this smoky bar, and we had no place to stay. And they kindly offered for us to stay in the upstairs, which was basically a gymnasium. And we wound up sleeping on the stage. It was so cold. And I think we probably all slept about 20 minutes to an hour. And we used all our merch, all our t-shirts as like blankets.
Yeah.
But that was the lay of the land back then. And so, we were young enough and dumb enough to handle it. I don't know if I could deal with it now, but that's why it's a young man's game, doing that stuff.
Well, I saw a picture and it said Glasgow on it, and I only saw like a few pictures, but I've been there. So, did you enjoy being in Scotland? Like, what was your favorite venue over there?
Well, we played a club called Rockers. It was good. The thing that I would say about playing in a band that's not playing in the theaters, just playing in the rock clubs, is you're always in the worst part of town. So, yeah, all these cities that we went to, whether it be Glasgow or whether it be Indianapolis or whether it be, Edmonton, all the clubs are always in the worst parts of town. So, I've had conversations with people that say, "Oh, I love Scotland. It was so beautiful." I never saw one beautiful thing in Scotland. I saw the worst parts of town, but I don't judge the country on that. I'm aware of the fact that when you're playing clubs and you're playing it and then you're getting out of town, you're not getting a chance to see any of the culture, any of the, sort of beautiful parts of it. You're kind of in and out. And if you're like
So
me
you
and
like have no in-between time then.
not really, and any in between time back then was just spent drinking. So really, it was, unfortunately, I never really saw anything anywhere. In fact, one of my buddies that I grew up with, his sister was living in London at the time. And when we played down in Cambridge, her and her wife came down and they took us on this tour around, and we saw the sights in London. That was about the only touristy thing we ever did. And we saw John Bonham's grave up in like Northern England, because the band that we happened to be touring with, they were from the town that he's buried in.
I feel
And
like you really
he's,
need to go back and enjoy this.
yeah, I got to tell you, it's not really, enjoyable. I've gone over for fun. In fact, after the one tour, I met my my now wife. We were dating at the time, and she's in fashion, so she had to go down to Rome. So we wound up taking the train from like Brussels down, stayed in Switzerland. So we got some sightseeing, and that was cool. And it was a kind of a relief not to have, you know, to be in the worst section of everywhere that we went. So it was nice to see normal people and not, you know, it was just, you know, again, but, we were, that's what you do when you're a touring band, kind of coming up, you kind of take your lumps, you know, you're not really getting paid and you're staying in the worst places and, with, perfectly nice people, but just in this kind of craziest, I've slept in the gnarliest places, and it's just, you know, I can sleep anywhere. So it worked for me.
So I read somewhere where if you weren't really interested in touring again, but you were really interested in being a lyricist and influencing younger people. So do you have like bands that you listen to now that you want to influence? Do you have people like, or anything that you want to say to the younger generation?
Yeah. I mean, basically I think once I, when I had, my daughter, I was just kind of like, I just couldn't stomach being away for that long. It's just not something that I wanted to do. And at that point, it wasn't really our main sort of, we weren't making enough money for it to be, you know, if we were going to make a living at it, we would have been on the road for about 8 to 10 months a year. And, I just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't willing, and I give anybody credit who is willing to take that bullet. I just wasn't at that point. Lyric wise, that's always been like the homework part for me. The melody writing and the chord structures and all that stuff are the stuff that kind of comes easy. And then, later on, I kind of write the lyrics. You know, rock, I'm a big fan of music in general. So, you know, I'm still getting into bands from, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And I also am discovering, you know, new bands. I don't really have a ton of advice except just that, you know, probably not do cocaine. Apart from that, I don't really have too much advice.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you do drugs. It's just the cocaine one. I've seen some bad things happen. It was never my thing, but try to keep your head on straight and try to be grateful for what you're doing. Because a lot of times it's pretty hard to be grateful when you're sleeping on a stage in Stoke and you've, you know, played for 30 people. It's not really, that, but every band that is any band that's ever gone on to do great things or not, whatever you want to qualify as great things has done that, you know, any band, if you want to talk about, you know, any of the grunge bands that came out in the '90s or any of the bands now coming up, I mean, they've all done it. They've all played these crappy venues and, they've all done it cause they love music. So, I mean, I just hope that, again, anything that, you know, maybe some kid out there is listening to our record and likes one of our songs or likes a couple of songs or whatever, that would be really cool. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for new bands to listen to. So, yeah, so I mean, there's a ton of stuff that I listen to.
And your dad influenced you to actually start writing your own lyrics, right?
Yeah. Just like write my own songs, you know, you know, when you're young, of course, I was asking him, he plays guitar and he knows a ton of songs. And I was asking him to teach me songs, you know, and he kind of just said to me, you know, you should just write your own songs. I'm lucky because I don't believe that it's a thing that you can learn how to do. Like I said, my wife's in fashion. She's a great artist. She can draw and all that stuff. And I can't draw anything. I don't believe that she could ever teach me how to draw. I just don't have it. I don't have the eye. And I think songwriting is a little like that. You could be very good at your instrument, but you may not necessarily be a songwriter. I believe everybody probably has a song in them if they're a musician. To be an actual songwriter is something that I think for a lot of people just comes naturally. And for me, luckily, it always did from when I was young. You know, as I'm getting older, it's sort of fading a little bit as far as like the frequency at which I write, you know, being prolific. I'm not so prolific anymore, but that's because I have a lot on my plate, you know, with life, as you know, with the kids and the dog and stuff like that.
I don't even hear.
That's just actually, yeah, that's just something that happened.
So something that I actually really enjoyed reading is with your new music that you leaned on your piano more, and that's how you came about some of the new stuff that you came out with. Why didn't you do that before, or why did you decide to do that now?
Well, it was kind of logistics a little bit. Before when we had our apartment in Jersey City for years and years, there was no space, and it never really occurred to me to get an upright. And I always fumbled around on the piano, but I just didn't really know. I didn't have enough time. So when we moved and we moved into a house, one of the first things I did was I went online or whatever, and I found a cheap upright piano. That was like, basically somebody was like, if you can get it out of my second floor apartment, you can have it. And so I paid some movers and I paid a piano tuner. And I think like for $400 or $500, I had a fully tuned semi-new upright piano in my house. And so from there, I think my wife had gotten me some piano lessons. I took 4 lessons, and the guy kind of taught me how to build chords on the piano and explain what the piano was to me. And it makes total sense. It's just a matter of practicing. And I've never been the biggest person who practices all the time. I just use any instrument I play to write songs on. And so I basically practiced until I could get good enough to write songs on the piano. And then it's sort of another outlet for me. I'm always trying to trick my brain into coming up with melodies. Sometimes on the guitar, if you're playing the same old chords, it doesn't really inspire you. But if you play the same chords on the piano, it may sound like you're really landing on something, where you're really only playing, you know, G, D, and C or something, you know, the same chords you'd play on the guitar, but on the piano, it somehow sounds different. And so that's how I kind of tricked my brain into writing some of the songs on the record. I didn't write a ton on the piano, but I think No Way Out was on the piano, and The Calling, obviously. I'm trying to think if any other songs were written on piano. I'm sure there were. But yeah, I mean, probably 70-30 were still guitar, but it was good to just have another outlet. You know, maybe I'd get stuck on a song on guitar, and I'd switch to piano. So it was good. It was good to have it around. I'm glad that I have it now, and I'm actually trying to get back on playing again, because I've been so lazy and sort of uninspired during this whole, you know, mess that we're all in. And so I've kind of committed to getting back on it, and maybe trying to, you know, play every day for half hour or an hour or whatever, and just see what I can come up with.
Has it been different, like with the band getting together during the pandemic? And
we haven't, you know, we just haven't. You know, I think maybe we're all in different places mentally. You know, I don't judge anybody's how they're handling this. I am different than other people. People are different than me as far as what they're allowing themselves to do, what they're allowing their kids to do, what they're making decisions around schooling. And so I think we're all at different places with this. You know, we'll eventually, I'm calm about it. You know, I know we'll eventually get back together. We'll eventually get back in a room. I think in a couple of weeks, we're going to play on our friends. My friends have a big giant backyard. It's like,
I read, you know, that. I was going to ask
2 acres. Yeah. So we're going to play. And I don't think we're going to rehearse. We're just going to set up and play for the first time since February, which could be a disaster, but I don't really, it's fine. You know,
together. We won't be live.
Yeah. It's good. Well, I don't think we're going to stream it, but yeah, we're going to play live for people in my buddy's backyard. And I think we're just going to, like, everybody's going to like Venmo. And then we came up with, my wife actually set it up where we're going to do, like 20% of it's going to go to like a charity or a scholarship fund or something like that for the, you know, the owners of the house will pick what we're going to donate money to. So at least we, you know, feel good about, you know, going out and playing a show and really just giving people that, you know, maybe we know, or maybe we don't know, a show, you know, because everybody's been without shows for five months now. It's brutal. You know, I like to go to see shows as well as playing them. Yeah, it stinks.
I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much all I had besides actually your influences. So I know that you love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
I know that, I don't know if you can actually see it, but I remember you wrote that you liked Pink Floyd, and like just growing up in like an older generation, and I did too. So I like all the people that you used to talk about, and who, like, that's who I listen to too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think the cool thing, and you being a music fan, I mean, the one thing that I think is cool when you talk to somebody, whether, you know, you're talking to me or I'm talking to somebody that I've listened to or whatever and hung out with, and is that we're all music fans, you know, so we can all kind of geek out on certain bands and certain records and, you know, turn each other on to different things.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the classics are like the thing that I kind of grew up on, you know. And then, you know, bands like Dinosaur Jr. and like Archers of Loaf and Sebado and all that stuff was kind of like the another sort of like phase of life with all the grunge bands and stuff. And then, you know, then there was like, you know, the late 90s, of course, when we started, and it was like all those bands like, you know, Jimmy Eat World and The Promise Ring and, you know, all those bands. So that was like that scene that we were sort of semi sort of involved in, but not truly involved in, because yeah. We never really, I don't know. I don't know if it was, I was just too abrasive or whatever it was. I just wasn't really, we all weren't into being labeled into any sort of scene, which is, seems kind of silly now because we're older and like, we're kind of over it, you know, but we were like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we were thinking, but anyway, there was all those things. So yeah, I mean, everything that you can name, I mean, Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, of course. And like Zeppelin's probably my favorite band ever. You know, the Beatles, of course, and the Stones and all those bands. And even now, like, I love Rival Sons are so damn good. I don't know if you know them, but they're awesome. Oh, they're awesome. they're so damn good. You'll love them. Rival Sons, they're from Long Beach, California. They're the real deal. I like the band White Reaper. Cool rock band on. You know, of course, I saw the Greta Van Fleet on their last tour. That was pretty exciting to see those young guys doing what they're doing now. And I just think there's a lot of great rock bands out there. I like the new Jason Isbell record. You know, Margo Price I was listening to. Guy called Rustin Kelly, Sturgill Simpson. I know a lot. I mean, there's just so much. In my opinion, there's so many good rock bands out there right now. They're just not making the money that they used to, or they don't acquire the fame that they used to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Back in the 70s, which is okay. I mean, it kind of stinks for, you know, because I think if you're a band like Rival Sons, I think if Rival Sons came out 30 years ago, forget it. They would have been the biggest thing ever, maybe 40 years ago, but they would have been like the biggest thing ever because they're incredible. And so, you know, I'm happy just to, you know, again, I've been saying to anybody who I've talked to over Zoom or just over a call that I'm happy to talk about us and talk about our music. And I feel fortunate to still be at the place that we're at and the age that we're at and making music and, you know, getting texts or calls from friends or people who we forgot long ago from distant tours, you know, just kind of sending a text to you saying, hey, I think this is Dylan. If it is, I'm listening to the new record. I'm digging it. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't always like that. Right. So it used to be that you had to wait for the record or the CD or the whatever the hell. And then you'd get people and it would be delayed. But now it's like instantaneous because of streaming. Anybody can just go on to.
It is kind of crazy. Like waiting for the CD and I couldn't wait, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. You know, I mean, it's cool. I'm glad it's been a long time, you know, and we're all the same people and we're all different people. We've gone through different things. But yeah, I mean, I'm really thankful for anybody who's still kind of giving us a spin after all this time. You know, it's not always easy, as you know, now with like different commitments in life to put these things together. You know, I have future plans to put other stuff out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but I'm going to work as hard as I can at trying to do it. And good thing about the guys in the band, and you know, we all work as hard as we can to make sure the band's still as well oiled as we can. And I'm still trying to write, you know, the best song I can. You know, it doesn't always work. I mean, Christ, I write a lot of garbage songs, but you know, I try to keep the good ones and put them out into the world. And then the ones that are terrible, I keep for me. You know, and then and I put them in a vault, and they're never coming out. You know,
wait until they're found one day.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No, music is completely different. And I actually think that people are listening now more than ever that everyone's just kind of sitting at home stagnant, not doing anything, you know, like I think that it's a perfect time to release anything because people are listening.
So. That was the decision around putting it out now, you know, it was like, well, perfect. we can't even support it, but we're, you know, and I was talking to Jeff and then we were all talking and it was like, you know, Donovan and Austin and everybody, we were all talking about it. And it was like, you know what, why not just put some music into the world? Maybe it'll make somebody's day a little brighter that maybe otherwise would have been a shitty day from, you know, either being in isolation, feeling that there's no hope. Maybe your business is shut down. I don't know. I don't know where people are at.
I was just walking down Main Street where I live at. I'm here in Florida. And I mean, half the businesses are shut down. It's horrible. Okay. So sometimes, it's just listening to a song or something. So music is super important, I think. As far as like the COVID thing goes, I work in the healthcare industry as well. So I just think that the world's a hot mess right now. And hopefully it gets better and hopefully we can all come together. I love your new music. I really, really like it. I wish you all the best. And it was really nice meeting you.
Yeah, yeah, you too. And I appreciate you, you know, listening, and I appreciate the kind words, and, you know, good luck. And hopefully, I don't know, hopefully one day we'll be playing a show. I don't know if we'll be in Florida, but you never know. I mean, this is, who knows? I mean, we never thought that we'd be in this position. So maybe we'll be down in Florida playing a show.
Well, maybe I'll come to New Jersey then.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thank you so much.